Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris.
All right. I mean, coming off a bye now. A very disappointing game down in Georgia, but not too surprising. I mean, I know we'd all like to have a win there, but Georgia is the best team in the country. So they've given up 4 touchdowns this year, and 2 of them are in Kentucky. So I guess you get some kind of,
moral victory.
I don't really do moral victories with Kentucky football anymore. It's more so Kentucky's just they're just not there yet.
No,
I usually don't either. But that game, you can't be too disappointed in that game.
No, because there's going to be a year where those where our guy gets the fumble. That's an obvious fumble,
right?
And some other things bounce our way. You don't get a holding call. You don't get field goals blocked, stuff like that. I mean, you just. You can't give drive killers. You know, the first drive that got killed by a penalty. You know, you got that obviously the fumble that we lost. That could have been a totally different game at that point. But at the end of the day, you went into Georgia, you played your ass off, and that's pretty much all you can do. That's one thing about Stoops teams, they never give up. They play hard.
Kentucky did a lot to help Georgia beat us. But when you're talking about a team that's as good as Georgia, and Georgia is by far and away the best team in the nation this year, historically good defense. I mean, it showed. But you got to be happy with how Kentucky was. They weren't shaken by that atmosphere. They weren't scared of the moment at all. They just made some mistakes, but largely they did what they could against that team. But we couldn't establish a run unless it was with smoke, which was surprising. Like, you would think C-Rod would have a good game, but he's too slow to go up against a team like Georgia.
Yeah, no, it's it was disappointing that he didn't really show up. Now it's because you couldn't get some established. Now their defense had a lot to do with that.
Their D line.
Go ahead, Mike.
Georgia's D line is nasty. Nobody has success running on them.
Nope.
Yeah, and they wore out Kentucky, and at the end of the day, like I said, the better team won, but Kentucky did a lot of good things, and it showed. I think it showed a lot of the country that Kentucky is a pretty legit team. I mean, it showed in the polls. They didn't move down but 4 spots. I thought they were going to get killed, torched, basically. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do? I mean, they played hard. We had injuries on the defensive line that hurt a lot. It showed in the game that it hurt a lot. And there's like I said, you can't really get too disappointed about that game. Next year they'll be at home. Maybe they'll have a better chance at home. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, you have one loss now, and the one loss to the best team in the country. So you got to finish off your season strong, finish 11-1, give yourself an opportunity to go to a playoff. And if not, New Year 6, that's where you're at.
Yep.
So this is usually part of the season where we give out grades for the season. And for me, offensively, I think the offense gets about a B plus maybe. Defensively, obviously they've been strong, so I'd say A. And for me, overall the season, as a Kentucky fan, being 6-1 with the you would think winnable games down the stretch, this would be an A. It's not an A plus would be if you beat Georgia,
right?
But an A for sure. I mean, you beat LSU and Florida at home. Like I said, out of the big three games, you wanted to get 2 of the 3, and you'd rather 2 of the 3 be LSU and Florida at home, especially recruiting-wise, than the Georgia game, my opinion on it. So what do you got? What's your all's take on the season, your grades?
Mike?
I think offense, I'm with you, Nick. I think it's probably about a B minus.
It shows a promise, but not where I would like it to be.
There's still some just execution errors that happen that just –
Not having Ali is hurt. Not having Ali is hurt.
Levis is good. He plays really good, but he also makes some very boneheaded throws.
Oh, Levis, yeah.
The turnovers, I mean, he seems like we got it kind of more wrapped up, but still, if you're looking at the overall first half of the season, I think it's a B- because of the turnovers and execution. Defensively, I'm going to go with an A-. We struggled there for a while to get pressure on quarterbacks.
Yes, we did.
There wasn't a whole lot of consistency there, and we struggled to get turnovers. Now, we turned it around, but all in all, I think an A- for defense. And then overall, though, I'm going to give it honestly, dude, I know you said A-plus is beating Georgia. that's like fucking like A++. I'm gonna go. That was about as good as realistically good a scenario as we could have asked for.
It's what I called at the beginning of the season. I said we were gonna win all the games against Georgia. So I mean,
yeah, I mean realistically, that was the best we were gonna do.
I mean, the best thing you can do is win your two big games at home. Really, your three big games in Missouri too. Give all your recruits there, get those games won in that kind of atmosphere. And that, you know, it's obviously been good.
Yep. For the offense, I go with a C. I think they've been serviceable, but, you know, Eddie Grant's kiss is still kiss of death is still all over this team. And, you know, you brought up it hurting that Josh Ali hasn't been in there, but even when he was in there, he's not getting open. Nobody's getting open except for Wandale. You know, when we have to rely on just Wandale and the tight ends for the passing game, God, I hate the Eddie Grant offense. So they only have really one person to throw to consistently.
Brandon Bates.
Yeah, Brandon Bates. C-Rod, you know, I know he's leading the SEC in rushing, but I just don't think he's looked the same this year as he did last year. Like, he had a burst last year, and this year maybe it's because he really hasn't had any long runs. He's just getting chunks and chunks and chunks, but he looks dinged up, I'll say.
Are you talking about C-Rod?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he still has over 800 yards rushing and stuff. I mean, it's not.
No, I'm saying it's hard to like justify what I'm saying in terms of the running game, but it just doesn't look the same.
His numbers look good, but I get what you're saying. He doesn't look good on the field. And I guess you would say.
I don't think he looks good in the offense because you need the one cutback who, as soon as a hole opens up on the outside, they're going. I think Smoke has looked more effective in this offense and more ideal for this offense than C-Rod has so far because he's a guy who sees a hole and bam, goes.
Well, the thing that's with Rodriguez too, he's still a part of the old offense, and that old offense was kind of that bully offense.
Yeah.
So I get that he's probably going forward, he's probably going to be maybe one of the last bruising number one guy we got. But I mean, right now, obviously, we know he's got to play. He's going to be playing in the league one day, and that's you got to go with him right now.
I think he's probably going to have the same career success as Benny Snell, which
he's
is
in the
not
league
great.
Still. I mean, still in the league.
Yeah, but
yeah, I mean, like I said, it's
got
some
count. Anyway, yeah. I also think we've seen the effects of never pass blocking in an offense on our offensive line, and we kind of said that at the beginning of the season. Like, it'll be an interesting adjustment for them. Outside of Kennard and Fortner, the offensive line has not done a good job pass blocking. They allow a lot of pressure to get to Will Levis. And luckily, he's mobile and heady enough in the pocket, but he has taken some big shots, and he was against Georgia too. So that's been a little disappointing, especially when you bring in a guy like Dare Rosenthal from LSU, who was starting and did a really good job at left tackle last year in their offense. He hasn't had that same success at Kentucky, and maybe it's because it's a different offense. But, yeah, the pass blocking hasn't been great. Run blocking, you know, it's Kentucky football. They're going to do a good job running the ball, and it's always going to be behind the big bullies we have up front. So, running blocking has been good. Will Levis, man, he's just getting better and better. Hopefully he comes. Right now, he's projected as like a 4th to 6th guy. So I don't think he would leave until he gets that first, second round grade. And if he came back next year with what should be a really good wide receiver core on top of the tight ends, dude, I was thinking about that today. The friggin' tight ends we're going to have next year, Keaton Upshaw, Isaiah Cummings, Trevon Morgan, who was a wide receiver coming in from Michigan State, 6'7 guy, really big body, pretty speedy, but not fast enough for wide receiver.
He's moved down the tight end. Yeah, I saw that this week.
Yep. So he'll be interesting. Then Jordan Dingle, who was a freshman this year, he made a good play on a Bo Allen long throw in one of the first games of the year. Just like an embarrassment of riches. Isaiah Cummings at tight end next year. It's going to be nuts. Really excited about that.
Cummings alone at that position next year is going to be nuts. Because I'm going to tell you, if Shaw was here now, he'd probably be our best offensive weapon with Wandell. That would take a Wandell. That would help him out a lot.
Well, you can put him on the outside, and he can beat people.
Yes, and that's the thing. He's the tight end that the league wants to see. Someone that's secondary is blocking now for a tight end in the NFL. They actually have tight ends on their roster just to block. And they have these other tight ends that can somewhat block, but more so is the mismatch for everybody, right? So,
yep.
You can thank your boy Gronk for that. You also thank Tony Gonzalez, guys like that. That's the guys they want now. With Travis Kelce, another one. So this big guys.
So I got a little off track there. Like I said, C for the offense, defense. I like your thinking, Mike, but I'm going to go A because I think, especially with McCall going down, the defensive line, the young defensive linemen have really stepped up, and I don't think anybody could have expected that because even towards the end of last year, they weren't playing very well, in particular Justin Rogers, but man, they've really stepped up. So that's been awesome to see, getting a lot of productivity out of the defensive backs that came back from suspension. That's huge. So I think this defense is like, they haven't even peaked.
No.
I don't think they've reached their full potential. Once they find a way to get a pass rush consistently and, turn the ball over or get some more turnovers, you're really going to see what they can be. But yeah, they're just not doing those things. They're not getting sacks. They're not getting turnovers yet. And then overall, you guys kind of said it. Like to go 2-1 in that middle stretch where everybody thought it was 0-3 a possibility. Like what more could you ask for? So on the year, and the coaching has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's been one of Kentucky's strengths now is the coaching. Stoops has really surrounded around a bunch of really good coaching. Early in his career, we criticized a little bit of his hires and will he make the right decisions and some of the things he did, obviously, with game management. But he's knocked out of the park, especially on the defensive side. He's knocked out of the park. And now he has found an offensive coordinator. And it's going to take time to get – well, I thought it would be a little bit quicker, but it's definitely going to take a couple more years for it to they see a solid offense on the field.
Players he wants in there, our offense is going to
Yeah, I mean, you see some of the flashes of what he wants to see, Will Levis. I think if Will Levis comes back next year, I think the offense is going to be great.
Yeah,
that's the consistency at the quarterback position is going to be a big thing for his offense. And then, probably Wandell Robinson will probably be gone, right?
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
So you're going to have to find somebody else there. But, I mean, it's, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But I think overall the season, this is what it was. This is what I predicted at the beginning of the season. I think most of us did. I think Chris may have losing to Florida, but beating LSU or something. I forget what it was. But I mean, this is what you wanted. You wanted your wins at home. That's why down the stretch with Tennessee, another sold out crowd. They're going to load up all kinds of recruits at that game. Another one you got to win. So to me, if you're going to lose the next one of the next two, Mississippi State or Tennessee, I'd rather be Mississippi State.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. One, because we get a lot of recruits out of Tennessee, and then two, it's Tennessee, so
right. Yeah. So, right. Mississippi State is the worst thing in the world. There's a bunch of cowbells, and it's kind of a hostile environment.
Yeah, but I mean, I think
Kentucky one thing not is, played at all.
Well, the thing is about the Mississippi State game is you lose there, you're gonna lose your crowd, you're gonna lose your fan, a lot of your fans.
It's
a big deal this upcoming weekend, real big deal,
for sure.
So.
So you all want to do a mid-season it'd be more of a re-prediction for the second half of the season.
I mean, I can. Yeah, I'm good with that. Mine's not changing. I mean, I'm going to say we're going to win out.
Yeah, I was going to say I was winning out too for the second half.
So, I mean, I think you did too, didn't you, Chris?
No, I think we dropped one of the next two.
Okay, well, which one do you think, which one's more likely?
I think it's more likely we lose to Tennessee.
I just don't see I get what you're saying there, but I just don't see what you see. I see a very improved Tennessee team, a team that's very, very young, and it looks like they found a pretty decent coach, considering they went through 50 coaches to get one. but at the end of the day, when you see teams like Tennessee, yes, they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of recruits left from before, great talent from before. But young teams like that, they can't they do bad down the stretch. If it makes it, they just have no depth.
Yeah.
And that's what I will see with Tennessee. A lot better than I thought. I will give them that. But I definitely think down the stretch, you're gonna start seeing them fade.
Commonwealth has become a very hostile environment to be
in. It's not even so much that they're coming off Alabama, stuff like that. We all know how hard it is to play Alabama and Georgia. It's the stretch they just had too.
Yeah,
that's a very, very difficult thing to do. But tell us why, Chris. What do you think? Why do you think Tennessee is going to be the one down the stretch?
Man, you never know which Kentucky's going to show up against Tennessee, and Tennessee just like they get up for Kentucky, except for last year they got their asses beat. But that's because they kept turning the damn ball over and they had a terrible quarterback. This year they actually have a good quarterback.
Who has never beaten Kentucky and is 0-1 against them. Just throwing that out there.
One game.
Okay, he's
0-1. But I'll tell you, and I was
– with an ACC team.
I would honestly go after the fact that, we embarrassed them down in Tennessee last year. Now, there's still some players from that team, but most of those guys are gone. So I'm sure he's going to play that card, but I'm not as worried about, like, the revenge type of thing as I would have been if – say the same team was coming in this year from Tennessee, if that makes any sense.
Another thing that worries me is Tennessee has a lot of components that, and they're going to test you schematically the way tested Kentucky outside of Georgia. Like Georgia kept running their tight ends deep and they were beating Kentucky's ass. No other team has thrown deep on Kentucky's defensive backs, and Tennessee is going to test you deep. And they have really guys on the outside. They're really fast. They get a lot of yak yards. And that worries me because I think our defensive backs aren't good. They just haven't been tested. One thing I will say that goes against Tennessee and in Kentucky's favor is Tennessee runs the hurry-up offense, like, religiously. That's what Josh Heupel's offense is based around. And that is killing their defense because with the hurry-up offense, yeah, you score really quickly, but then your defense is on the field for a long time. So that's what's been killing Tennessee is in the second half of games, their defense is just beat.
And that's why I don't think it's going to be – he's been good, their coaching, but I don't think that type of offense, and you'll see it this weekend, that just is not self-sustaining. I mean, offenses that score really quick, their defense, you're right, wore out, especially Tennessee with the depth issues they already probably have. I mean, they lost, 28 guys from last year?
Yeah.
So, and like I said, they've been a lot better, and I'm definitely a little bit more nervous about it, but I'm still not sold on Tennessee football beating me this year. Kentucky's got – it's just a more established team at this point. They need down the road, but I don't know, man. It'd be disappointing if they finished the season 10-2. I mean, it'd still be the best season, regular season that the team's ever had since the 50s, the early 70s or late 70s.
78, I think.
So I don't think they have had a 10 win regular season in a long time. So that's, that would be a big deal for Kentucky, but to lose to any of the teams left on our schedule would definitely, would put a damper on the season.
I think that would be a disappointment.
I agree.
But we've seen it before. I mean, we remember, and this is a totally different team, totally different time and place for Kentucky football. But, Andre Woodson's team and stuff, that team was, 6-1, coming off bye. They lost to Mississippi State. They lost a bunch of games on stretch, ended up 7-5. So just to put that out there, it's not like it's unheard of around here to start off like the way we have and then all of a sudden finish out. Now, do I think this team is going to do that? No. But, you got to be able to – you got to go into Mississippi State and win, which someplace they haven't won since 2008. Do you all know who the coach was then for Mississippi State?
Uh,
I'll be honest. Sylvester Croom was their
coach. I was about to say, was it Croom? Yeah.
Yes, Sylvester Croom. They won 14-13 down there. UK.
But that was like a 3-8 Mississippi State team.
Yes, because he got fired that year, and the very next year was Dan Mullen's year. So, but no, that's the last time they won down there, and can't be taken serious as a football program with losses like that, with streaks like that.
Right.
And you got to be able to end those streaks. Like, no one's going to take Tennessee football serious until they beat Alabama at some point, you know, or at least show how they can beat them. There's some Kentucky's got some nasty streaks that they're ending. I mean, Stoops is ending a lot of these things. It's not like Kentucky hasn't beat Mississippi State. I mean, they just did last year. But you got to be able to go on the road and win. And this would be, to me, would be a huge blow to Kentucky, because they would now be outside of the playoff picture, and it would just lose a lot of the momentum, you know?
Yep.
And that's why this is – every game is important. And, you know, I think Kentucky's at a good point right now in the season.
I think I know recruiting is going really well. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that nobody's heard of, because – other recruits are committed to different schools, traditional powers, and they don't want to lose their spot until they're ready to decommit and go to Kentucky. But Kentucky's going to get some good news at wide receiver.
And that's what you want to
see. Next week.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see. I mean, because people like that offense, or that NFL-style offense, so that's a good thing. And that's like Mike was just talking about, you know, we're going to see his offense in there in a couple of years, you know, and that's what you're going to get his guys in there, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, look what he's doing with just basically one main weapon at wide receiver, Wandell Robinson, and that's pretty much it. And Wandell Robinson's going nuts as a wide receiver. Why would you not want to play in a system like that?
They're just getting speed, speed, speed.
Yeah.
Ton of speed.
And again, Kentucky's becoming a trendy school, and that's what you want. That's what you want to see. So, Kentucky still got a shot at the playoff. That's what you got to look at from this point on. So, moving on to the Mississippi State game. That's the big one this weekend. That's the one that we all are now worried about. Everyone I see everyone online talking about, oh, we're worried about this, that. The best thing that's ever happened right now is Kentucky went on a bye game after the Georgia game.
Yep.
To get a little bit more healthy. I see that Ali and possibly McCall is going to be available for this game. That's big. Mississippi State has totally abandoned their running game. I think they rush only like 48 yards a game.
Yeah, but the second and third leading receivers on their team are their two top running backs. So they use the short passes as an extension of their running game, and it's just as effective.
Yes, and they've been – and again, another team that I see people talking about, I'm not sold on them. They're very jackal and high.
They're hit or miss. They're hit or miss.
And I mean, you talk about a team that should have lost to Louisiana State. I watched that game. That was the first week. They got lucky on a extra. Well, they missed an extra, a field goal, or I think it was. They missed a field goal. They won that game. Then they go and they beat – who else? They beat LSU, didn't they? They beat LSU. Who else did they have beaten this year? That's pretty decent. I'm trying to think on top of my head.
No, they beat Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's who it was, A&M. They lost to LSU.
They lost to Memphis.
Yes. Another one.
They almost lost Louisiana Tech.
Should have lost Louisiana Tech. I watched that game. Yep. And they got smacked last week a couple weeks ago by Alabama. So, again, it's you're talking about the defensive backs truly getting a test. They're probably going to get it this weekend. They're going to get it a lot. And I mean, you talk about Mike with the talking about getting pass rush. This is the game. You need it.
Absolutely.
By the way, Josh Ali will be back for the game.
Very good. Well, that's good news. I just read earlier that he possibly will be back. That's good. He's going to be back. Any word on – if you heard anything for sure on McCall?
Oh, no. They're saying he might be back before the end of the season.
That's a big time. Well, I mean, you got, like I said, next man up, and it's been good so far. So, I mean, what are you all's, like, concerns for this weekend? I mean, outside of the cowbells, and Mississippi State does have a very good home field advantage.
It seems like sometimes this year we've struggled against the swing pass, and I feel like that's all Mississippi State run is those little short 3-4 yard patterns.
Well, that's their run.
Yeah. Ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean that's their running game, and it's going to be interesting to see if we have enough enough bodies to cover both of those running backs and cover their deep passes, because they have big, physical, fast receivers on the outside. So, I mean, you're going to be left with a lot of man, and there's going to be a lot of crossing patterns, because that's where the air raid is, because the middle of the field is going to be open if one guy gets beat. So those are the things that Kentucky has been faced with this type of offense yet this year. Like, I don't think the secondary is as good as the stats might show, just because I don't think they've faced the type of team that could be State will. But Kentucky's so physical up front. I don't think Mississippi State's faced a defense like Kentucky. So obviously see who wins out front. And I think Kentucky can definitely on offense. Kentucky's going to be able to run on Mississippi State.
Well, I also think that having Tisdale back for this type of game, those swing passes y'all talk about, stuff like that, it's big time for us. Obviously, you're going to rely a lot on Weaver and guys like that to be able to get out onto those type of swing passes. Because you're right, a lot of motion with Mississippi State. And they're going to get guys moving and then quickly passing it out to try to get that mismatch. So, I don't know. To me, I'm just not as worried about the Mississippi State game. I will say that I'm a little worried about the Tennessee game, but I'm just not worried about this weekend's game. Because I haven't the times I've watched Mississippi State, I was not impressed. Let's put it that way.
They're hitter. Texas A&M. Texas A&M was not playing the football that they are now. Or that they have been the last couple weeks. Texas A&M was playing like shit at the time that Mississippi State beat them. So it is a little bit different. You got to kind of put an asterisk next to that. But, if their quarterback gets hot, man, and it's tough for defensive backs and linebackers to cover for, 62 dropbacks, because that's what Mississippi State's going to throw. That's how many times they're going to throw the ball.
So, what needs to happen for Kentucky to win? Took away Chris's little thunder there. I forgot you wanted Chris. How do you want it, Chris?
So, what happened if Mississippi State won?
Well, I mean, we'd established that. They won. Kentucky's offense didn't do anything on their first couple of drives, and Mississippi State's been able to build a lead at home. And I will say this with Mississippi State, the lead is never safe with them, and it's never safe for the other end, because I think they've come back on almost every single one of their games. So that is, they're never out of it. But I think at the end of the day, Kentucky got zero pass rush, and the offense didn't come ready to play again. So, Mike?
It comes down to open field tackling. Is what it comes down to. Well, those little swing pass, we've struggled this year in some open field tackle situations. I think it absolutely comes down to that if we're going to win or lose this game.
Solid point, Mike. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, if we give up, like, I'll say three deep passes, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night. What else? If we turn the ball over more than two times, but that's kind of an obvious stat.
Now, I'll tell you, we shut them out last year, if y'all remember right. So, yeah. I'm not putting our defense out,
Dude,
our defense has a lot to do with it, too.
It's trash.
Huh?
Do you remember Nick was yelling at Cole Kubik the whole game going, "Tell him, Cole, Mississippi State's trash."
I wanted to be honest with the fans. Yeah,
because we were sitting on the first row, like right, like Cole Kubik kept walking by and Nick's just yelling. I was like, "Tell them they're trash."
I was telling him last year, I know they're trying to keep the fans on TV, but I was trying to tell Cole, be honest with them. It's a bad Mississippi State team. That's a bad team. Let them know. Let the crowd know. Let the people at home know how bad Mississippi State is. I hope that doesn't come back to us this year. So
what happened if Kentucky wins?
well, easy. It's an easy one, like we did last year. I mean, pretty much the same blueprint as last year. Get pressure on the quarterback, cause turnovers, short fields, get on them early, and it's pretty much coast the rest of the game.
Yeah.
That is what they did last year. I mean, they won with defense last year. It was barely any offense. They scored a defensive touchdown as well, right in front of me and Mike.
Yep.
And it was Weaver's breakout game, right? And I mean, that is what they have to do. So, and they do that, there's nothing Kentucky has to worry about.
Mike?
I agree with Nick. Again, I think it comes down to open field tackles. You make those plays, get them off the field, and then just run the ball down their throats, control the clock. To have a bunch of those 10, 12-minute drives, hit them early, and then just ride it out the rest of the game.
Okay. I think Kentucky wins. They got 4 sacks, at least 2 turnovers, and 280 yards rushing as a team.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice. Be nice. A lot of Levis moving around.
No, I just think this is the type of game that C-Rod can just grind on defense.
Well, they need to do it. I mean, it's obviously leave as little time as possible for them. But, you know, I agree with you. It's going to be a running game. I mean, this is the game where you want to run. So we'll see how that goes. What's your all's predictions for this game?
Mikey?
All right. Offensively, I'm going to go with I know Chris wants C-Rod, so I won't take it, but I think that's really who it will be. I'm going to go I think he'll probably throw for about 200 and rush for about 80. And then defensively, I'm going to go with this is probably going to bite me in the ass, but I'm going to go with Valentine. I think it comes down to him making it comes down to him making those tackles, man, stopping the swing pass. He struggled sometime this year. But okay. Then I think we make those stops. I think we end up winning 28-13.
Kind of a low scoring game there.
Yeah, I think we just have these long ass drives and just kind of ride out the clock.
Okay. Okay, I'll go next. For offensive MVP, I think
if you don't take C-Rod, I'm gonna punch you in the nuts.
He's gonna go smoke.
It's gonna be. I did think about smoke. I think it's gonna be the offensive line. I think that's kind of a cop out, but they really gotta start showing something pass rush or pass blocking wise. And then obviously, if the running backs have success, it's gonna be because of the O-line. So I'll go with the O-line, and then defense, J.J. Weaver. Because I think he can be the big factor in locking down, the intermediate to short throws. I think with his length and athleticism, he's done a really good job in coverage this year. He and Jordan Wright. So I think Weaver is going to be a big part of the defense's success. So he's going to be the defensive MVP, and Kentucky's going to win 35-17.
That's a pretty good score. That'd be nice. I mean, that would be good for us going forward. The playoff selection coming up the next week. That'd be real nice. It'd be sitting pretty then. But I think offensively, I'm gonna go Justin Rigg because I'm that guy, and I think he's gonna get us a couple key touchdowns down the end zone.
Whoa!
Piss off, Chris.
That might be the first time that Justin Rigg has been picked as offensive MVP.
I think it's going to be a big time for the tight ends this week. I think it's going to be him down there catching them. So that's what I'm going to guess this week. On defense, I was going to go Weaver, but I guess I'll go Pascal because there's got to be somebody that can move the defense a lot and be able to get pressure. So
and you can't go wrong with that guess.
No, never.
No, he's been the defensive MVP. He's made a lot of money this season for sure.
Absolutely.
And rightfully so. The guy's earned it. I mean, he's worked his tail off, beat cancer. I mean, it's somebody that you really respect, and teams are going to love that in the NFL. Leadership, with the leadership that he provides. I think Mississippi State only scores 7 points on us. I don't know why. That's just the number that keeps hitting in my head. I think it's going to be probably more like 28-7, something like that. I think Kentucky does do a pretty good job with Mississippi State, and it's just because it's just. I still think defense wins games, and I think Kentucky's defense is just that good. And I think Kentucky has enough. They have enough on offense to be able to move the ball for significant amounts of time. This is going to wear out Mississippi State. And I just think that, that as far as Leach goes, his mismatch is Stoops. that's the big thing. I think the scheme they used last year, I mean, Mississippi State doesn't change. Leach's offense never changes, no matter where he goes. And we saw it here in Kentucky with Tim Couch. We see it. It just does not change. He does not change. And I think the blueprint is out on him. And I think Stoops has the blueprint. You saw it last year. And I'm not worried about it. I mean, I'm not worried about this game.
They're back. I mean, and it's just a product of them throwing the ball so damn much. He's a little prone to turn.
Yeah.
He's thrown seven already. So that's more than, what is it, two more or one more than Levis. And I think that could bode well for Kentucky as well.
I just think that Leach has like I said, his offense is the same as I always remember it. and you're right. His offense is also predicated on turnovers. If they start turning the ball over early, they're in trouble, because it's just their defense is not good enough to hold up with Kentucky. Now, they might prove us wrong and beat Kentucky. If that's the case, then Kentucky's going to lose. You know, Mississippi State's defense comes out, plays the best game of their year, and that could happen. I mean, it could happen each week. It could happen against Louisville. I mean, you just never know.
Yep.
So, but Kentucky, the one thing that scares me the most this week, and this is the one thing that is always scary with Stoops teams coming off byes come out flat.
True.
And it has happened every year. Every year. We talked about with Chattanooga this year before the game that Stoops teams play down with opponents. Talk about the South Carolina game. What happened? They played down to them. Talk about the Chattanooga game. What happened? They played down to them. It's the same thing with Stoops teams in bye weeks. You know, they played Georgia in 2018, lose to them, bye week, go to Tennessee, and get absolutely thumped. So,
but do you think that's turned around? I mean, look how they played Florida and LSU.
That's true.
Yeah.
I, like I said, I hope the tide's changing, but I'm just going off what usually happens after buys with him. So, I mean, even 2 years ago, 2019, they lost to Florida. Weren't they on a bye? Then they went to Mississippi State. Or was it Mississippi State? Then they went on a bye to South Carolina. I can't remember.
That year, man, like that, there's a big asterisk next to that year because we lost two damn quarterbacks.
That's true. But yeah. I'm just saying that it does. Stoops teams at their buys are not as effective as you like.
That's true. It is true.
So that's just the way it is.
And he's 0-4 at Starkville.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But different teams now. I mean, a couple of those years that Dan Mullins was there. So just to put that in perspective. But anyways, I don't know. I'm excited for it. I know we're all ready to get back to football. Yep. I do think Kentucky's appropriately ranked. I think it's a good ranking for them right now for what they've shown. You know, there's a big weekend for top 10 teams. You got Michigan State, Michigan playing, all these teams playing. But all that stuff don't matter if Kentucky don't win.
Yep.
So, and the big one really is Auburn, Mississippi. If you're really thinking about Kentucky football and want to get a New Year's Six Bowl, you got to get Mississippi. You have to have Mississippi lose.
We need Auburn to win that one for sure.
Auburn has to win that game. It's just there's no other scenario that I don't think any other team will catch Kentucky. If Kentucky stumps a toe down the stretch, Ole Miss is ranked higher than them, and they have a lot better teams playing forward than Kentucky does. So
yep, they still got to go to Texas A&M. That'd be a big one.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I don't know. I mean. Here we go. Got another game, another week. So I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris. Go Big Blue.
Go Cats.